Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the China Startup Pulse. I'm Ryan Chukin here with Todd Embley.
Yeah, yep, that's me.
Hi. Yep, and we got a good episode, great episode, fantastic episode.
I'm healthy.
Yeah, he's back and he's healthy.
Yeah, you had to fly solo last time because I ate a bad prawn.
Oh, did the prawn stick you up in an alley?
Man.
It was a bad prawn.
If I ever see that prawn again.
Yeah, you just...
We're gonna have words. Because I did not feel good after
it's
that.
It's good
prawn.
To have you back, though.
Yeah, it feels good to be back. Everybody missed me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Liars. So, on the show today, we have Ryan.
Milo, yeah, well... we have Milo Chow.
Milo Chow, TBWA.
Yeah.
He is their chief strategy officer. Yes, sir. And so he was great. He's been here. He's been doing that role in China here in Shanghai for 5 years.
Yep. And yeah, so. He's been in advertising
forever
in China.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not in China.
Or Asia.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he knows everything. And he's an expert in residence at China Accelerator. He works with all of our startups.
He's a lot of time at startups,
every
works with
week.
Their stories and their
storytelling, pitching to brands, understanding how to pitch to brands and how to think about approaching brands, which is a lot of what I talk about. So we talk about pitching to brands. Mm-hmm. We talk about what brands are thinking and how they act in China with this state of marketing here in China, and what to think about innovation.
How to look at your consumer. What's the most important thing? He goes off about the most important thing when you're looking at China, entering China, what do you focus on and what does that mean?
That's right. So you have all that to look forward to in this episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just jump into it and hope you enjoy.
Hey guys, we're here with Milo Chow, and I'm going to give you guys a bit of an intro on his background and everything that's going on.
So far, so good.
Yeah, so he works as the Chief Strategy Officer at TBWA, which is a massive advertising and marketing firm. They're really, really...
Biggest in the world?
Yeah.
Not the biggest in the world.
You should really somebody
do that. No. But he's got an incredible amount of experience in advertising and marketing. He's worked for DDB in advertising, Rap, and in Gray, and all these big companies that are acronyms. I mean, I don't even know all
of
them.
It was Dale, Doyle, and Birkenstock and Shire.
They're
or something.
No. Burnback. That's all right.
Burnback is what it was.
Oh, that's good. Burnback. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. He's the most famous of the three, apparently.
He originally came here in 97 in Beijing, and actually, no, 92 in Beijing, and then came back 5 years ago.
That's right. 5 years
ago. And has been doing incredible marketing here. And he also works as one of the entrepreneurs in residence.
Wrong.
No?
Experts in residence.
Experts in residence.
Which you
even
used
better.
To be, actually.
Even better.
So you screwing that up was actually...
can't wait for everything. All right, guys. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay.
Yes. We're very interested to get into the whole marketing atmosphere and things. We haven't had a really good marketing person, and I'm trying to think back, make sure I'm not offending anybody who's been on the show before.
You may have.
Well, we had Natasha from Tall Mao, from the digital WeChat, LinkedIn kind of side of things, but we didn't dive too deep. And I think with you have a lot of experience. And then, but as you said, before we got on to recording here was that you do a lot for the bigger players with the deeper wallets, the deeper pockets. So, but then of course you've been working with us for a couple of years now, working with all the startups. So, why don't we scale back a little bit, because you also work on their storytelling. And one of the reasons that we wanted to have you come in as well was to help them understand how to pitch to brands as well. Because it's vastly different. You're pitching to consumers, or you're pitching to investors, or you're pitching to media to get a story done, or you're actually pitching to brands. You're doing a B2B play or something like that. So, maybe interested to think about your thoughts around how you change up your
craft
pitch,
that message.
Yeah, what are brands more interested in hearing about? Versus a VC. If you're pitching your investor, you're actually
I think the most important thing that an entrepreneur can do is really think about what brands like Visa or MasterCard or what have you are looking for. What do they want? The thing is that they're always looking for ways to differentiate themselves and to add value to their consumers. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so if you're able to tap into that understanding, to know what their competitors are doing,
yeah,
and know what their consumers want, and angle your product or service towards that, then you're helping them do their job. Mm-hmm. And if you help them do their job, it's going to be much easier for them to, you know, buy into your product.
That's got to be a scary proposition, though, as a startup, because you'd think you might come across as sounding, you know, dumb, because you're talking to Visa about their customers or their competition, whom you have to guess they're going to know more than you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, they're definitely going to know more than you. But if you do some of your homework, you can learn a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I guess one of the surprising things about brands is that they have a lot of facts, they know a lot of data, but they don't necessarily have very strong connections with their consumers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't meet their consumers on a day-to-day basis. They don't talk to them. They don't look them in the eye.
True enough.
So I think if you're an entrepreneur who knows who the brands you're talking to, who their consumers are, if you can go out and talk to those consumers, mm-hmm. you know, and have kind of a firsthand, you know, experience with them, and when you go into the talk to the brands, you'll have something to say. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have gathered some statistics, if you've gathered some stories on the consumer, and yeah, you don't have the data, but you have some qualitative information that can help to angle your product in the right way. That's okay not to be perfect. You don't have to know everything about the consumer, but if you have a good sense of the consumer, a good sense of their pain points, their tension mm-hmm. points, you know, mm-hmm. where they're suffering, I think that's really important. Because as you know, every day, you know, I'm thinking about pain points of my clients' consumers and how we can address those. And so if an entrepreneur can come to a brand and say, here's a pain point, and this is how I can address it, they're going to get some really, they're going to have attention. They're going to get clients' attention.
Are brands open to talking to more entrepreneurs these days? You know, are they starting to...
It's like the corporate...
I mean, it's always been that really hard wall to kind of break through as to getting into the brands and finding that decision maker and trying to make them believe you can help them.
There's like a lot of risk for a brand to take on a startup. I guess they have to be vetted and properly, and does that process... That takes a while.
Well, yeah, I think that's... I think what brands are looking for in China is innovation. And they're not finding innovation internally oftentimes, particularly when they don't have very big, you know, research budgets. Most companies that I work with do not have big R&D budgets.
Yeah.
So they are starting to look outside innovative ideas. If you look at just at China right now, everything's about innovation. Everything is about innovation. Several years ago, it was just about distribution. It's just about who can get into the hinterland as fast as possible. But now it's about who's the most innovative, who's the most differentiating, who's the most distinctive. And so that is the big game today, is what can I do to be innovative? And if entrepreneurs are the key to innovation, then why not?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess it can't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I think there is an issue with, you know, just a random entrepreneur coming up and walking on up into your, you know, office.
I mean, yeah.
That's probably not going to happen. There has to be kind of some introductions, or there has to be some kind of, vetting process, and, or maybe a conference where entrepreneurs will, you know, present to brands.
So you're talking about how the marketing and advertising in China is changing really, really fast. It's ramping up. Do you see it continue to ramp, continue to have this fight for innovation? Or how's the market turning right now?
Absolutely. I think everything is about innovation right now. Everything is about creativity. I think clients, brands are recognizing the value of creativity. Mm. Which is surprising to us, I think, from you know, Western markets. We think that creativity is central to competitiveness. But in China, it's only now becoming important because they're realizing that there's so many players in the market. And it's very, very difficult to stand out. And so creativity is a solution to that problem. How do I stand out? Be creative. Be creative about it. And so that, and so creativity is becoming very important. But the problem is we're finding it difficult to find people who are very creative.
So that's, I mean, so thinking about China, no offense to anybody feeling strongly about China, but creativity, not exactly their strong suit. You know, the, you know, these kinds of things are definitely their strong suits, but the whole creativity thing, that hasn't been, you know, kind of a focus for a lot of the population of China and parents raising their kids and things like that. So, yes, I would imagine that the creativity part is the difficult thing to find here.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say that it doesn't exist. It's just...
No, it's 1.4 billion people. It's out there.
Yeah, I think you just have to know where to find it. And it's just incredibly difficult. It's hidden away somewhere. You know, it's interesting. I see creativity in farmers who are building helicopters and airplanes. And so I think that's really interesting. You know, creativity is probably being channeled into the areas where there's more money.
Yeah, sure.
Like tech or, you know, finance. It's not being, or art. You know, I think in, like in Beijing, you're certainly going to have people who are more artistic. And that's one way of thinking about creativity.
Yeah. But creativity on the side of a business model.
Yeah.
Or creativity on the side of marketing.
Yeah.
That's going to take, that takes an extra touch, an extra knowledge, an extra experience or, you know, education level. It's not really just about an artist or somebody, you know,
sure,
graffiti on the side of a building. This is actually trying to do some very unique things.
Yeah, but I also feel like a lot of the startups even that we work with, they're very heavy on the tech side. They're excellent at the thing that they build or the service that they connect. But understanding their own message or how to get their message across becomes difficult for them. You work with a lot of the teams. What are some of the kind of tips and ideas that you try to give these startups to help better their marketing for China or their message in China?
Well, I think oftentimes they start their message coming from what they think is the most unique part or the strongest part of their product.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, that may not actually be what's interesting to their consumer. And I think what happens is they develop these products in this sort of bubble where they're not really considering the consumer. They're considering their product and the beauty and elegance of their own product. And so what I suggest to them is to think about what is the consumer need that they're addressing. Who is the consumer? Because we do need to think about that. And when you come from that perspective, when you come from the perspective of the consumer, then it shifts the dynamics of the situation. So I was talking to a group the other day, and it really seemed like the focus was on data. That was what's important. We're going to win in this market because of data. But then we got down to talking about the consumer. And the consumer was, you know, 25 to 35-year-old urban woman, white collar. And we're thinking, okay, so you're talking about data, but you're going to be talking to this woman. My bet is that she's probably not going to be so interested in the data. She's probably going to be interested in the simplicity of the application. So we need to think about about shifting that. There was another brand that I was just working with, where the whole pitch was talking about, interestingly, it was talking about this is the consumer and this is who we're talking to, or this is, you know, the need we're trying to resolve. But the problem is that consumer would never actually play a role in the life of that brand. They would never know anything about the brand. So in fact, the consumer they thought was the consumer was not in fact the consumer. The consumer was actually, the target is actually a business, not a consumer. So they had to rethink that. But I think at the very least, I think the most important thing is think about who your target audience is. Is it a business or is it a consumer and what are their needs? I think that is the very basic starting point for trying to tell your story.
I think a lot of companies end up getting, and I mean, the default is to talk about the product because that's what you spend so much time on early on, and that's where your ego lies. Is with True. What you've built.
Yeah, this is mine, and it is, you know, it's perfect, and I love it.
Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, but if you talk about your product, but you don't know anything about your consumer, knowing nothing about your consumer says you don't know nothing about the market and the size of the market and the potential of the market. And so spending more time on understanding that is absolutely critical.
It's, you know, it's interesting. It's the whole lean startup, you know, the book... The methodology, the canvas, everything is, it's been beaten to death, you know, and, you know, everybody wants to get away from it now because it's been done so much. It's old news. And yet, month after month, batch after batch, you know, you find that this is still, but that, you know, the essence is just going and talking to customers and figuring out who they are and what they feel. You know, and then coming back and do it. And, but everybody wants to build product, and get it to market because they think it's all about users and revenue, but it's, you know, they forget the deep understanding part. And that's, I don't know, that's what comes out there.
I think there's also a caveat there. You don't want to be, you don't want the consumer to dictate what you're going to be or how you're going to talk about your product. You want to be guided by them. Because, you know, they may have some interesting things to say, but you're not going to fundamentally shift what you're doing because, you know, one or two consumers says, you know, I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I think that's really something to think about.
On that note, let's take a quick break, thank our sponsors, and then come back and talk about the state of marketing in China. All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. I want to thank our sponsor, China Accelerator. China Accelerator is the leading accelerator in Asia. They help bring anyone's ideas from outside of China into China and then amazing ideas from in China outside. They're mentorship driven from experts who've done it before and can give you all the advice and perspective that you need to be successful in the market. They are a 3-month program in the middle, in the heart of Shanghai, China, and they are an intensive boot camp for getting you and your idea ready. You are either bringing your brilliantness to China or something brilliant is coming out, but China Accelerator is the place for doing that. You can find out more at www.chinaaccelerator.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, People Squared. They are a massive co-working space in China. They are people-focused, community-based, The founder, Bob Zhang, amazing guy who had his own exit and eventually started this co-working space because of the need of helping people find networking and co-working areas that were entrepreneurship driven. If you're looking for office space for landing in China and you're looking for a place to grab a desk, definitely check out People Squared. You can find out more at people-squared.com. Hey, we'd also like to thank TechNode, our sponsor who helps us publish and syndicates with us
on
their website. They are the number one portal for startup news and entrepreneurship information
in English
in China.
Yes. Yeah, they'd be great. Dr. Gong Lu, who started it, came out of MobiNode, and then he's just made it into a full-fledged reporting company now, media company that talks about all the entrepreneur and tech startup happening in China, which is great. It's all in English for all our listeners, so you can digest what's going
on here as well.
Yeah, they syndicate our podcast, and they're also managing TechCrunch.cn. They'll also be putting on the TechCrunch Disrupt conferences here in China, a big one coming up in Shanghai at the end of June, so really looking forward to that. I highly suggest everybody attend. It's going to be a 5-day marathon, 2 days of startup battle, 2 days of actual conference, and then a 5th day devoted to VR. So it's going to be really, really cool. So keep your eyes out for TechCrunch in China, in Shanghai at the end of June. You definitely want to be there. And thank you, TechNode, for everything you do for supporting our podcast. All right, we're coming. We're back in now. I'm landing out of the sky from the sponsorship thing. Sorry, it was just that what we were saying it was during the sponsorship thing. Sitting around here, we're here with Milo Chow from TBWA, and we are going to start talking about marketing in China. And I warned you previously 30 seconds ago that we were going to ask the state of marketing in China. A lot of startups want to come to China. Okay, this is going to be something that is going to be completely fucking foreign to them, mm-hmm. is how to do marketing in China.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because it's completely different. But it's not just startups. It's also other, you know, medium plus plus businesses that are coming over here. You know, we're seeing the things like the, you know, like the, whether it's the SendGrids or the MailChimps or mm-hmm, the Zendesks mm-hmm. or the things, you know, and all kind of coming in. And, you know, even the big guys like AWS and things are coming into China, and everybody's trying to come into China. They have big, but marketing. And what we're talking about is trying to build a brand name.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's interesting because I've been talking to a few startup entrepreneurs recently who just arrived in China. Yeah. And, you know, the questions that I get are just fascinating.
Yeah.
But I think fundamentally the most important thing you need to do when you first arrive and check into your hotel is start to really understand China.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, what you have been exposed to for the last 3 years on the Financial Times and CNN and the New York Times is going to give you a sense of China. Yes, probably but 5% of China. Mm. But if you want to really succeed in China, you must absolutely have a profound understanding of what's going on in China and understanding Chinese people. And it's not about the demographics, you know, McKinsey wrote this study, 43% of people feel this way. That is not the basis of your marketing plan.
Mm-mm.
It's too macro. And it may help in kind of giving you a sense of confidence that there is potential in this marketplace, but you really do need to, you know, get on the ground and start, you know, exploring the environments that you're going to be, you know, selling in or doing business in. You know, what's going on there? What's the environment like?
Yeah.
Who are the competitors? You know, don't look at locals as kind of, you know, backward thinkers. You know, you talk about, you know, China, they're all about copying. Frankly, everyone's copying. Mm-hmm. Some people are just copying better. Some people are innovating, but everyone's copying. So that's just nonsense to me. But you really have to come in with a respect for local players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you absolutely must. They're doing some smart shit out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's not just about learning from the other foreigners. It's also about learning from the locals. You know, the thing about working with major multinationals is that if they do not, you know, relinquish control from Germany or from the US, they're going to have a hard time moving very fast.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But I think one of the things that entrepreneurs have that is a positive is that they can move fast. And they can make decisions fast, and they are on the ground. If you're trying to be an entrepreneur in China and you're in, I don't know, Poughkeepsie, New York, you're screwed. So you got to be here.
Well, yeah, it's the SEAL Team 6. Like we talk about this,
Exactly.
The SEAL Team 6 is, you know, trying to get the best people who know the lay of the land. Give them training, give them all the resources they need to be successful, give them the game plan, drop them off and say good luck.
Yep, drop them off and just, all right.
And it's like radio silence from head of it.
Make it happen.
And you just don't remote control the things. It's just like, you know, there's a pickup spot. We'll see you there in 6 days and for extraction or something, you know.
Yeah.
You hope that there's no extraction. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely it.
And I think it's also critically important for you to make as many connections to the local people as possible. And I don't mean consumers, I mean to other entrepreneurs, to other business people. You must know people here because you cannot succeed if you do not have very strong connections with people who are of this place and, you know, by this place. So otherwise you might as well just stay in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
If that's where you're from.
All right. So what about the hierarchy of companies here? I mean, you guys are trying to get a new client, right? I mean, how long is that process? How long is that sell? My typical understanding is that it's a long process. There's a lot of mouths to feed and a lot of signatures that need to get on the docks and potentially a lot of red tape to go through. Is that true?
I think it depends. I think... you know, some clients move very fast. So let me step back a second. So in advertising, what we do is pitches. We don't necessarily go out all the time knocking on people's door, doing cold calls. Oftentimes we'll have brands contacting us and saying, we'd like you to pitch, right? So that means 3 to 5 brands are going to come together in 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks at max, at most, and you know, pitch your ideas. Tell the brand what you think the solution to their problem is.
Mm. You know, for startups are trying to, you know, especially out there, B2B, and they need, you know, even right off the bat, they need some beta testers. They need those first 1-2 kind of clients, whether it's a Nike or, or Fairmont Hotels group or something, you know. I mean, they just need to get a solution in the hands and working, because it's not like they're doing a B2C or something, or a social play where they can go out and just talk to customers by, you know, hassling people on the street and getting them to like play around with it and stuff. So it's much easier for them to move quickly towards, you know, the truth.
The truth of
what's out there. Whereas these guys, they've got to, you know, you've got to get in and you've got to get approvals. And, oh, look, HR gets it because it's going to really help HR. But then their budget to do this is going to come out of advertising. Yeah, so now I got to sell the marketing guy who needs approval from his boss or something like this. And it's just, you know, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks, which is a disaster for startups.
Sure.
And I think from what I've witnessed is that I think the local big players that you would want access to are still a little bit slower on understanding the value of talking to startups and entrepreneurs, because they don't have any clout walking in the door, and they don't really want to spend the time doing it. I don't know. Do you think?
Well, I mean, I think absolutely. This is going to take a while, because you're completely unknown quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the brands, major brands, have been trained to be cautious about things. They don't want to fuck things up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I imagine that there are companies who are more open to taking risks, who are more open to speaking with entrepreneurs. I would probably, if I were an entrepreneur today, I would probably, and had some time, I would try to understand the values of the companies that I'm about to approach. There are certain companies that are much more open to the concept of entrepreneurship, that are much more open to the idea of collaboration, and getting ideas from the outside. And if you can identify those types of companies, then your pitch to them is slightly easier, because you're speaking on the same level of values, right? If you go to some of the startups in Shenzhen, probably you're probably, or some of the larger tech companies in Shenzhen, you're probably going to have an easier time than going to a P&G or a, you know, a Unilever, because they understand where you're coming from. So I think shared values. I mean, for instance, in China, I think the most interesting things that I have witnessed in my time here is that chemistry is so critically important.
Mm-hmm.
Shared values is so important to them wanting to work with you or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, and that's the people, really. I mean, we are talking about people. It's not this unknown entity brand name, right?
No,
it's actually
yeah.
the people yeah, that are in sure. the room that represent sure, sure. the company sure.
And their ideas
the
and
fit
their connection
there yeah. with yeah. those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely. I think, you know, we all have access to LinkedIn today, so we can see the arc of someone's career. Mm. And if that's the person you need to talk to, you probably want to ask yourself, okay, so what in their, you know, LinkedIn CV suggests to me that they may or may not be open to, you know, speaking with an entrepreneur?
Mm.
You know, mm. are they someone who speaks at conventions? Are they someone who has a side job where they're helping small companies
or an organization or a humanitarian thing?
Yeah, because I you know, this is, for me, I see startups as the future of business.
Mm-hmm.
They represent the change that is going to happen in China.
That's bold.
I mean, it is. I mean, I think if you think about it, look at Xi Jinping and what he's doing. He's all about, you know, give room give room to the entrepreneurs. Let's help the entrepreneurs succeed. Why? Because he realizes that it is the small companies that are going to, in fact, make the big changes in China. Those are the big thinkers. Those are the disruptive thinkers in the world. The big guys, they're not disruptive. They're just trying to hold on to what they have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, when you see, you know, you see, you know, Robin Lee and Baidu or Li Jun Xiaomi, obviously Jack with Alibaba and how these things started. And I mean, you just look at these guys going, yeah, okay, so obviously there's something there and this is
this
the future.
Is,
and you're right, what he's done is he's created this very attractive and to me very attractive to parents so that they'll let their kids go into by creating a space where there's a lot of activity and a lot of money and you can get a lot of kind of reputation built and you can build a future by getting into this so that the parents start to relax a little bit and
because it's a community decision, you know, doing entrepreneurship. It's a family decision. It's the whole household saying, yeah, this is okay, or putting pressure to join one of the big corporations. But like you said, it really is impactful when the top of the government is saying, you know what, entrepreneurship matters, and we got lots of examples of really important people.
Yeah.
You know. Because, I mean, these big companies can't do it on their own. And I think there was an article in the other day about Alibaba working with like science fiction writers or script writers to plan or think about the future of their company.
Wow.
But the point is that you need these kind of disruptive forces to create innovation in your company. So you must be open to it. Otherwise you're going to just do the same shit over and over again.
And you talked about it before where, you know, if you have a very established and very expensive infrastructure that you have to manage, that greatly increases the cost of doing innovation and the cost of failure. Therefore, the rate of innovation is quite low versus a startup because they have kind of a low cost of infrastructure. Therefore, they have a low cost of failure. Therefore, they have a very high rate of being able to innovate and continually be able to innovate, which enables them to have an advantage because they can spin things out faster, a lot faster like this.
Yeah.
Getting back to the crux, I think, of what you do as we near the end of the podcast, the state of marketing in China, to come back to it a little bit, just for those who, you know, if you're a marketing person from the U.S., what might be interesting to know about the differences or how is the activities, how are things a little bit different over here in either the way marketing or advertising is purchased or consumed, or what is different in trying to talk to consumers versus in the U.S. or
I think whoever is thinking about coming to China, depending on your product, of course, I think digital is critically important.
It's very much digital over here.
Everything's digital. Yeah. Everyone's digital, on a smartphone.
Digital and mobile.
Everyone has a smartphone.
They may not have guessed that yet before coming
really?
Over
I,
here.
Really? It's just... It's,
I know. That's why pervasive. A lot of stuff seems very obvious to us who have been here.
Yeah, I mean, I have a vendor in the U.S. that we work with on a global level, and they have, a desktop-based application, and I'm saying, where's the mobile application for because I can't do anything with this in China because everyone is on the mobile phone. So if you're coming here, you got to think about your mobile strategy. You got to think about your e-commerce strategy too, particularly if you are going to be, something that, you know, if you're a product that you're selling. E-commerce is incredibly important. Everyone right now is focused on e-commerce and what our e-commerce strategy will be. People are starting to use the retail outlets as sort of, rooms to just look at, and then they go online and purchase. So, this O2O strategies. But I think that that's probably the most important thing for you to be able to focus on is that. And I think it's also, again, I think if there's one word that I would take away from this conversation we're having today is people. Mm-hmm. It's, whether it's your consumer, whether it's your businesses, or what have you. It's, you know, being able to connect with people.
Yeah.
And in China, people are more influenced by KOLs, right? I think that's it's almost boring when I say it, because I say it every single fucking day. Mm-hmm. KOL, what's your KOL strategy? It's almost like, what's your WeChat strategy? You need a WeChat strategy.
Yep.
You need a WeChat strategy, you need a KOL strategy. Mm-hmm. And those are like so basic. It's like learning 1 + 1. You got to do it. If you don't have that, then you're screwed. And it's not about, finding super famous people, but it's about finding people who, are passionate about your product or your service and are willing and able to talk to other people about it. Because Chinese people trust people.
Yeah.
Not everybody,
word of mouth.
Word of mouth. I mean, it's the most important thing.
That's I think the greatest thing. It's going to be the greatest thing to end on too. Yeah, I think, to hit that at the end, but yes, WeChat strategy, KOL strategy is huge, but then, like you said about the KOL, it doesn't have to be somebody super famous, although it helps, but somebody who demonstrates an ability to emotionally impact and affect a lot of people here, that is going to be key.
Yeah, and I think that also means that, you have your pitch to brands, you have your pitch to consumers, you have your pitch to investors, you also have your pitch to people, your influencers, your KOLs.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important, because they have because one of the things you need to remember about KOLs is that they have to maintain their credibility as well.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're throwing shit at them that is going to, not benefit their brand,
yep,
why should I take it on? You're going to have to pay them. Yeah. But they have a choice whether or not to take on what you are talking about.
Sure. And you have it has to have an understanding of the KOLs, the tone, the subject matter they like, the viewpoints that they tend to take on different things, because it has to help their customer base resonate, closely with them, because they're trying to always create and maintain an identity and a style, right?
Yeah.
Their brand name as a KOL.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that KOL. And I think Robin 8 does a little plug for Robin 8, our company, who helps a lot with that as well. Yes. So anyway. Yeah.
So if I just said people, I think, is very important to think about that word. I think perspective is also very important, right?
Mm.
It's about taking someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
Right. And that's related to people. If you take someone else's perspective, you understand what their needs are, what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can deliver that,
then
you can sell your product.
If you're new to China,
awesome.
Walk around
Great advice.
For a couple of weeks.
Just
watching
connect.
People
yeah.
go to a mall and walk around, just sort of spend the whole day watching what people do and what they look at and where they go and how they operate and, streets, and try to have as many conversations with different people as possible and these kinds of things. I mean, if that's the best you got as far as resources to devote
just
to it, then that's,
it.
I think, what you got to do. But
be
ready to put in the work if you're coming over. Anyway.
Thank you.
Milo, thank you very much, my friend. Appreciate it. And I know you'll be back every week doing your meetings with our teams and helping smash their faces against the wall.
Thank you so much for being
trailing.
Here.
But thanks very much for getting you. And thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Todd.
For being you and having that beard.
Doing my thing.
I bring it up. It is. It's well done. Yeah. For a redhead guy. And then Darren, thanks over there for sitting there and taking notes, helping with the sound. David on the back end does post-production. And for you guys, our listeners, thanks for being there. We'll see you next time.